A look now at our other focus this morning, the disturbing wave of violence in the Middle East. A violent government crackdown has produced nearly 150 deaths and scores of wounded as Syria's Bashar Assad tries to end weeks of defiance to his government. At the same time, there's growing dissatisfaction with the pace of change in Egypt. We begin in the Syrian city of Hama, where we spoke a short time ago with merchant, civil engineer, and political activist Omar al-Habal. He's been watching the violence in his city since the government tanks and soldiers first appeared about 24 hours ago, and he gave us an update.
Again, bombardment, very heavy bombing, and artillery shooting from all directions on Hama. Even now I can hear some shooting on the west side. And so many killed this morning and injured while they were sleeping at home. Yeah, and we don't know how many casualties, how many injured.
I don't know if it's the case, but are you safe where you are?
Yeah, I'm hiding in one safe place. But if bomb come, nobody can be safe if bomb the house.
Well, your courage speaks much louder than your soft words this morning. Omar al-Habal, we want to speak with you more. We'll check in with you later in the week, but on this first day of Ramadan, our prayers are with you.
We hope the international community to support this, our peaceful revolution, hardly, and kick out this regime. We don't need military support, just we need political support.
Listen there, the voice from Hama, Syria. He's Omar al-Habal talking with us earlier this morning about the unrest and chaos that he's witnessed in an explosion over the weekend. Joining us now is Shibli Talhami, as he often does. He's the Anwar Sadat Professor for Peace and Development at the University of Maryland. He's also a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Professor, good morning once again.
Good morning to you.
You know, when I spoke with Mr. Habal, I said to him, when the tanks started coming into the streets in Hama, as someone, and he's 56 years old, who can remember the massacre in the 1980s, I asked him to describe the difference between what happened back in 1982 and what happened today. And he said, back then, nobody came into the streets. They just killed indiscriminately. This time, the entire city came to confront the tanks. What's the significance of that in your view?
Oh, there's no question that there is an expression of will across Syria that's extraordinary. I mean, this is obviously what we've been seeing in the Arab world, sort of the barrier of fear broken, and people essentially are prepared to pay a heavy price. It's really extraordinary. But I think part of that has to do with the changed information environment. I mean, it's 1982. Very few people saw pictures of what actually took place. And now, you know, the rest of the world sees it, even with all the media closure in Syria. People are still able to upload the pictures into a phone and send them into Al Jazeera, Al Arabiya, and broadcast them. And that energizes people. I think this the fact that they know the rest of the world is watching, the rest of the Arab world is watching, is being broadcast, that energizes the whole uprising, and I think that's a huge difference from three decades ago.
We're speaking with the Shibli Talhami, the Anwar Sadat Professor for Peace and Development at the University of Maryland. You know, I don't know if we've spoken with you about this, since I recall our conversations during the Tahrir Square uprising in Egypt, but many have commented on just how aware Syrians are of the precarious situation in their government. The Bashar Assad is an Alawite. The elite is mostly a part of the Alawite minority. Syria is predominantly Sunni, and there's other sorts of kind of ethnic divisions within Syria that are locked in a kind of deal with the devil. And unraveling that, people, I think, fear could produce just extraordinary violence and civil war, and that is a damper on the unrest.
Yes, I think there's a divided society in Syria, no question. I think it's not just the Alawis. I mean, the Alawis are obviously, a cornerstone of the Assad regime, have been always. But he does have allies among some Sunni elites in cities. Look, we haven't seen much take place in Aleppo and very little in Damascus, major cities. We do see that some of the Christians have taken comfort in a secular regime that has, sought out to, reached out to minorities. The Druze minority has been also supportive, although there were also indications of some dissent there. So I think what we do know is that the regime does have some support, obviously, in various places, and that makes it far more complicated. What we also know is that, unlike what happened in Libya, for example, there's already no one really is itching to intervene militarily. In fact, it's been ruled out across the board, in part because it's far more difficult, in part because what happened in Libya is making everybody think twice about intervening in the sense of how difficult it is to be. If it was difficult in Libya, it would be far more difficult in Syria. And in part, it is because Russia has pretty much stated it will veto any resolution at the UN, and Russia's commitment to Syria is far greater than it is to Libya. So all of that really makes it very complicated.
We're speaking with Shibli Talhami, Anwar Sadat Professor for Peace and Development at the University of Maryland and a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. So Shibli, when we spoke to an activist in Hama earlier, he said, we don't want military intervention. We only want political pressure to be applied. Are they looking for like universal condemnation for the from the UN or other bodies?
At some point, I think they want Arab support first and foremost. That is important for them to keep going. And I think they're getting a lot of that, at least in the media, but not so much from governments because governments themselves are divided. However, at the UN, you know, the Russians themselves at some point are going to have to ask themselves, particularly as the bloodshed escalates, as it did yesterday. Today they issued a strong statement saying they're deeply concerned. Will there be a threshold that if that is reached, will the Russians will start thinking differently about this issue? We don't know that yet.
All right. A brilliant analysis there of the situation in Syria from Shibli Talhami, Anwar Sadat Professor for Peace and Development at the University of Maryland. He's also a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution, speaking to us on this first day of Ramadan and also the week where the trial of Hosni Mubarak, the former president of Egypt, begins. A lot of milestones there. Thank you so much.
A pleasure.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.